Thank you. Good morning. I appreciate you showing up at this hour for this presentation. As you know, we have about 15 minutes for these talks, so I'm going to have to speak quickly and rush through some things, but let me begin with some general announcements. The first is that your printed program says that I am Amber Haley, and yet you can probably tell that I am not. She couldn't make it, and I'm sort of standing in for her. And this will not be just a one-person presentation. It's going to be a two-part presentation, so I'm going to talk for about 10 minutes, and then I'll be followed by Steve Sedlock, who I'll introduce in a moment, who will finish the presentation. Also, the abstract that was submitted talked about us presenting results for four communities, and basically we're behind schedule, so we don't have all the data for that we had intended to present for those four communities. We'll be giving you results of preliminary data that we have for two communities, Bernalillo County, New Mexico, where Albuquerque is, and Orleans Parish, where New Orleans is, and talk a little bit about some of the analytic and methodologic challenges we are encountering with this project. So with that as background, let me get started. No financial disclosures to discuss. I want to begin with acknowledgments and also a bit of explanation about this project's many players. I am from the VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University Center on Human Needs, which is the research entity that leading up this effort. Dr. Sedlock, who will be speaking after me, is with the Virginia Network for Geospatial Health Research, which is our partner in this project and involved with the GIS mapping that I'll be discussing with you. And we're funded to do this by the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies, which is a nonprofit organization in Washington, D.C. that deals with social justice issues. And all of this was funded by NIH through a challenge grant. At the bottom is a very important box because our project, as I'll explain to you, involves working with eight communities around the United States. And in each of these communities, there are teams that we work with that have been very instrumental in guiding our efforts. I'll say a bit more about that. I want to specifically acknowledge in the room from our center, Ben Evans, who's in the audience, Steve Sedlock. I don't know whether Felicia Eves is here from the Joint Center, but has been around here at APHA. So let's get started. Social determinants of health. Instinctively, when we all think about this, we immediately think of SES variables like these, individual and household level variables that we know are strongly associated with health outcomes. But increasingly, we're beginning to understand the importance of place and neighborhood and community level variables as important drivers of health outcomes. And often those neighborhood and community characteristics are structural foundations that actually pattern those individual and household variables that we're so used to measuring. They account for the education and poverty and other variables that we are tracking. So we're seeing increasing literature about the importance of place and some classic reports that have come out in the last couple of years. Shown here are, as examples, the Barhi report from the Bay Area in California, looking at the role of local variation in neighborhoods on health outcomes, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation report on building healthier communities on natural causes, the PBS documentary that dealt with this issue as well. So with that as context, let me give you a quick background on the entities involved with this project and the mission of our study, and then we'll get into the methods and results. So our center is at Virginia Commonwealth University, established in 2007, and our mission is to provide the public and policymakers with better information about the prevalence of societal distress and its implications on health outcomes. Our partner, and Dr. Sedlock will be representing this network, is an entity that has sophisticated GIS expertise, was established in 2009, and it feels like that, right? 2009, with a focus on geospatial analysis and technology to improve decision making in public health. So the study that I'll be presenting to you in the next few minutes was organized by the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies Health Policy Institute. And they have an initiative called the Place Matters Initiative. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it. Okay, a few. So it was launched in 2006, funded by the Kellogg Foundation. They have 16 communities around the United States, shown on this map, that are working to improve the health of participating communities by addressing social conditions that lead to poor health. They have teams on the ground in each of these communities that are working with local decision makers and change agents to try to address social determinants of health. Dr. Byers, who will be speaking after me, is from one of those communities in Alameda County. Our study, which was funded by NIH through one of its challenge grants, is focusing on eight of those Place Matters communities shown on the right-hand side of this slide. They cover, you know, the east to west coast and include not only urban centers, but also rural areas like the South Delta of Mississippi and the San Joaquin Valley. And our work is basically a bridge between research and policy. We're doing research in the process of doing this project to study the spatial relationships between social determinants of health and health outcomes within these communities across neighborhoods and so forth. And then that research is going to be packaged by the Joint Center in reports, community health equity reports, that the local teams will use in their communities to try to drive change with local decision makers and policy makers. So part of this is research and part of it's translation to a public audience. Support for this, as I mentioned, comes from the NIH through an ERA grant from the National Center for Minority Health and Disparities. The prime on it is the Joint Center, and then we're funded through a sub-award to our center and one to VANGR, the Geospatial Health Research Network, which produces the GIS maps that we're using. Our methods, very briefly, because I'm trying to rush through this, involves consultation with community teams to identify variables of interest and using a variety of national, state, and local data sources to address the indicators of interest to the communities. The communities are driving this project in terms of choosing the indicators that we look at. Shown here for each of the eight communities are the types of topical areas and themes that they wish to emphasize in their reports. And as I mentioned, I'll be examining results from two of these communities in the next few minutes. Our analytic methods involve some degree of descriptive associations and univariate comparisons, but we are also using methods such as factor analysis and linear regression techniques to look at correlations. But a major focus of our work is the use of GIS technology to look at the spatial relationships. And Dr. Sedlock will be talking more about some of the more advanced methods that can be brought to bear in looking at those relationships. So when we look at the data, for example, for Bernalillo County or Orleans Parish, the two communities I'll feature in the next few minutes, we see the typical patterns that you would already expect. In this particular case, showing an association between race and educational attainment. In this particular bar chart, an association between race and ethnicity and poverty. No surprise, we already know this. Bernalillo County has a particular interest in environmental justice, and here's a slide showing that race and ethnicity and poverty are associated with higher exposure rates to environmental hazards. But where this gets interesting is when you start looking at the spatial relationships. So for example, here is a map that our mapping partner VANGR produced showing the relationship between life expectancy and place in Bernalillo County. Again, this is home to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And what you see is that there are very distinct pockets where there are disparities in life expectancy in small geographic units, small census tracts that differ from surrounding areas. In Orleans Parish, again, the geographic units are larger here by zip code because of methods issues, but you can still see striking disparities in life expectancy across town in New Orleans. If you look at some of the upstream social determinants using these GIS methods, you begin to see interesting patterns. Here shown adults without a high school education in New Orleans, and again you're seeing significant disparities in small geographic regions in educational attainment. The same pattern is observed in Albuquerque when you look at educational attainment. I apologize again for rushing through this. It's just necessary as a matter of time. There's some interesting methodologic problems that I wanted to share with you because as researchers, we're interested in sort of drilling down a little bit to understand a bit about methods. And this map I'm showing to show you a problem with the use of GIS methods Here you see what appears to be an area in the southwest part of Bernalillo County, which seems to have a very high poverty rate. And what you're actually seeing here is not so much that, but a spillover effect from a nearby Native American reservation that's outside the county boundaries, creating a sort of artifact in the mapping results. These kinds of methodologic issues need to be taken into consideration when GIS methods are used. Another problem is to rely too much on cross-sectional associations in doing GIS mapping, and we've tried to take advantage of the Geolytics database that we've purchased for this project to use longitudinal data to get a better sense of temporal long-term trends. So 5 minutes means it's time for Steve already, so I'm going to hurry up here. So this shows persistent poverty over a period of several decades in Bernalillo County, and if you can see really well in the insert blow-up that there are areas of that town that have been persistently poor for a period of several decades that have been high-impact pockets. Here, too, persistent foreign-born population, areas of town that have been historically an area of immigrants. We've been using methods such as aggregating a number of these community area variables that we're mapping to derive a community risk index, or CRI, that we're using to better integrate these multiple interrelated variables. And when you map out the community risk index geographically, you again begin to see very interesting patterns of areas within neighborhoods within communities where there seems to be a consistently high exposure to adverse health conditions, adverse social determinants. Environmental justice is a priority for this particular team in Bernalillo County, so we've looked at density of environmental hazards by region and used methods such as spatial autocorrelation, a GIS method, to demonstrate the association between environmental exposure and, in this case, persistent poverty. The same type of mapping technique was used to look at the association between environmental exposure and life expectancy, and what you see is a clear correlation. But I actually am intentionally pointing out with this slide that here, too, is a methodologic problem that can lead to misinterpretation. This apparent association between environmental exposure and life expectancy is subject to all kinds of confounding variables. And in fact, when we have done regression analysis looking at this statistically, we found that this association disappears when you account for other social factors that are already correlated with life expectancy. And that's why GIS methods need to incorporate regression techniques that adjust for these confounding variables. So in the final few minutes, I'm going to ask Dr. Sedlock to take over for me to talk a little bit about the kinds of GIS mapping methods that are used to deal with those issues of confounding. And I'm going to skip over my preliminary findings slide because we're short on time. Steve?
Thanks again, Steve. One thing that we're trying to do, and I got one or two minutes, and I'll have to also, with Steve's leave, speed through this fairly quickly, but what we're trying to do is add, in terms of the work we're doing for Place Matters, is add the component of space, which is often the long-forgotten variable within sociology and public health. And one of the things that we are doing is adding such things as spatial autocorrelation and spatial regression. We are using regression analysis. That's one of our important parts. Steve initially showed you some maps that showed thematic mapping and spatial autocorrelation. One of the next steps that we're going to be applying to the project is regression analysis. Just to give you a little bit of background about aspatial and spatial data, aspatial only does not include location within it. You can have it, say, in an unemployment rate within a particular county or a particular state. Spatial data actually has multiple records that show both attribute and location information, such as unemployment rates at different locations. This is the process that we go through. We select variables based on the analysis that we do, both introductory as well as including histogram, scatter plot matrix, spatial autocorrelation, hotspot analysis to determine which variables have which variables are correlated. In terms of being able to conduct some certain type of regression analysis. And once we get past that, we determine the patterns of what variables are related to each other. We move into such things as ordinary least squares regression and geographically weighted regression. We examined spatial patterns using histograms and scatter plot matrix. And then we also use, like I said, spatial autocorrelation to determine whether patterns are clustered, dispersed, or random. And the graphic out, and then we both have a tabular output as well as a graphic output to show the clustering, and then the Moran I index, which provides the overall Moran I as to whether they are, whether variables are clustering together or are dispersed. Ordinary least squares regression is a global model that determines, helps us determine which variables overall in a study area are correlated. And then geographically weighted regression looks at each individual location record and applies a regression equation to each of those records locally. So the OLS gives you a global understanding of what the of which variables are related, and then we apply that to and then we apply the local GWR to each individual variable to look at each one of those records within a study area. And that's our contact information. Did I go too fast? I'm sure I went too fast. Did I have an extra 30 seconds left or? Okay. But that's our contact information. And I guess we'll be getting questions afterwards. Very good. So, thank you, Steve.